Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like Ron Johnson still hasn't decided if he's going to run for Senate in Wisconsin in 2022. I kind of hope he does, to be honest. There's part of me that would like to see him, like Trump, take a beating and then see him go away in shame. Because look, at the end of the day, this guy's kind of off his rocker. If you look at the letter that he just signed on to with Cruz and with Lee and with Scott and some of the, there were five crazies. You look at this letter and you go, explain to me why it is you think that we're treating the people who attacked our Capitol, wanted to hang our vice president more harshly than anyone else. They're criminals. They deserve to be in jail. But Ron thinks we should treat them with kid gloves. Here to share some thoughts on the good senator from Wisconsin. I've asked one of my favorite Wisconsinites to come share some thoughts. Robert Craig is the executive director of Citizens Action of Wisconsin. Their website, citizenactionwi.org. Robert, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Rick.
So we got your senator penning a letter saying, "Hey, you're treating our people a little too harshly."
Yeah, and you've seen the data. I mean, he's trying to make this, false equivalency between people who tried to commit an insurrection and overwhelm police officers and came there to interrupt a constitutional process. And one of the largest protest movement in American history by the numbers, and overwhelmingly peaceful. The Harvard Radcliffe Institute did a report on this where they looked at all 7,000 plus events that occurred in the Black Lives Matter protests from 2020. And of those, 96.3% involved no property damage or police injuries, and 97.7% of events, no injuries to participants or bystanders or police. These were incredibly peaceful overall. And in fact, the violence that did occur often was from the police, right? Or was from right-wing agitators or for a small group of left-wing folks who believe in violence as a solution, but it was not this movement. If you're going to have that many people turning out by the millions and millions in that many cities and that many events, there's going to be some stuff that happens, but that is a very different thing than what we saw with this insurrection. But I think the thing to think about, Rick, is you referred to the mental health of our senator from Wisconsin, or potentially, that maybe this is a really good reelection strategy because Trump overperformed because he turned out a whole lot of voters that the pollsters missed. He got 8% more than the polls in Wisconsin were measuring before the election. And maybe Ron Johnson is trying to simply redo that playbook and lean into where Fox News is, Newsmax, the One America Network, and just rev up that base in a midterm election. So maybe he's crafty and not crazy.
No, that's an excellent point. But at the end of it, regardless if he's crazy or crafty, still selling out our democracy for his own gain.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And he's been an ideological extremist since he got elected. Some never Trumpers very much promoted him at the time. People who have tried to, learn from their mistakes. People like Charlie Sykes, who's now all over MSNBC, was regularly promoting Ron Johnson early in his career. He upset Russ Feingold. And he had the two perfect elections because Feingold, there was a rerun election, 2010 and 2016. What could be two worse years to run for U.S. Senate as a Democrat in Wisconsin? But he's gone a beeline to even more extreme right, really in many ways, the most loyal Trumpy in the Senate. The others are, and in fact, what's been odd about his performances, whereas Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz were shameless before the insurrection, they backed off a bit and tried to look at senators in the hearings. It was Ron Johnson throwing out the red meat, saying that maybe the protesters were Antifa and not really from the right. Now, apparently, they're victimized and are being harassed by the Department of Justice per the letter, right? So it's hard to know which one is which. And about his fear, how he would have been if he wasn't afraid of them because they were God-fearing Americans, I guess, because he thought they were conservative and predominantly white. But then he would have been terrified it was Black Lives Matter protesters. And everyone went after the racism and the mainstream media for that, Rick. But I think even more significant is the assumption that the Black Lives Matter movement ever plotted anything like an insurrection, right? And so that equivalency is gross as well, not just the obvious racism, being afraid of a multiracial movement and not being afraid of white supremacists, basically, who are trying to violently overthrow the country by preventing the certification of an election of an American president.
Right. And but here's the thing. On January 6th, I was reading the Parler accounts of the people there. I was reading the social media of the people who were planning to attend what they believed was an opportunity to stop a presidential election from being certified and overturning that election and reinstalling Donald Trump as the president. This was not we're going to have our voices heard. We're just taking our grievances for redress. No, they went with the specific goal of stopping the certification of that election.
And by force. And they really put together some real gallows, not fake. And they were really after Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi and anyone else they get their hands on, like members of the squad, like AOC. And it's very lucky they didn't get a hold of anyone, actually. It was a close call. It's actually, and this is why there needs to be a bipartisan commission, Rick, a real one, is hard to believe that there was not a stand down order coming from the Department of Defense and from Homeland Security, because they just left the ill-prepared Capitol Police without intelligence and out backup for hours and hours.
Yeah.
It's just very suspicious. So we really need to get to the bottom of that. They're clearly Trump called for them to do it, called them to Washington, changed the date of the event to be on the certification day. It was supposed to actually come much later. And then also, directed them over there. There's no question about the whole thing. But there's still a lot we don't know about how this happened. But as you know, in coups around the world, one of the oldest tricks in the book is to stand down the defense system, right? So that you can go in and do your business, so to speak, by disrupting a constitutional government and taking power.
No, which is why, again, I come back to we do need to have a full, open, and transparent investigation. And I'll be honest, I think Ron Johnson and the Republicans filibustering the bipartisan commission was probably a good thing in my view. Because I'm hoping the Democrats take this moment and say, we're going to set up select committees and we are going to investigate the hell out of this for as long as it takes. If it takes, the next 10 years to do this, that's what it's going to take. My problem with the commission is they set an end date for the end of the year. I don't know that you get that kind of work done in that short a period of time. But the Republicans did us a favor and said, go ahead, investigate until the cows come home.
And apparently shocked Joe Manchin, according to press reports. He's very flabbergasted that we didn't get bipartisan cooperation, which is bizarre. That's partly why we have a problem with him. But I think you're right that this was going to be a lame, watered-down commission, and now let's do a Benghazi-style commission with something really to investigate, not a trumped-up charge, political charge. They don't want that information to come out, and they have a lot to hide, I think. I think that's what Mitch McConnell knows. He has a lot to hide. But I'd also say, since we're held up by the filibuster now and by two Democrat senators, I think maybe we have an independent party of four senators that also include Murkowski and Collins. And their criterion is bipartisanship, which is impossible if you're going to do constructive legislation. But Ron Johnson could win re-election. We have a really strong primary, a lot of candidates running. It'll be a big money primary because there's so much interest in taking him on. But this is a very closely divided state, an off-year election where you can rev up that base all over the state of people who are revved up and made rabid with hatred every night by Fox News, which has gone far right to fend off the threat from farther right media, upstart media sources, that there's this is going to be a really hard, a $30 million race, and Ron Johnson could be reelected. So, here in Wisconsin, we're really focused on reelecting the governor, because otherwise they're going to set it up so the legislature can steal the 2024 election and name the electors if they have a Republican legislature and a Scott Walker-like Republican governor. And then, of course, control of the Senate is absolutely critical, and we really need to pick up Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, in my mind, are the two top seats we have to flip in 2022.
Now, it'd be nice to pick up Ohio and North Carolina as well, yeah. But you're right. Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are the two must-get seats so that we can at least hold on to the Senate and maybe undo some of the damage from Sinema and Manchin. But here's the thing. I mean, I hear what you're saying about revving up the base. Isn't this kind of denial something that would rev up the Democratic base and just being incredulous to the fact that they saw with their own eyes what happened on January 6th and they're represented by someone who says, oh, no, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't an armed thing. It wasn't an insurrection. It was just people who were coming to come to their capital.
We can absolutely rev up the white progressive base. I think we continue to eat into the Milwaukee suburbs, which are beginning to become very purple, which is very problematic for Republicans in the state. That used to be Scott Walker's heartland, right? We're beginning to win assembly seats, Senate seats there, and it's beginning to change. But I think you really have to, even though our person of color community is small and concentrated in the Milwaukee area, that do we have accomplishments to make young African Americans and people and Latinx folks feel like they have a stake in this election? Because they have so little opportunity that they need some sort of positive notion that we can have, you know, we can change the policing system, we can create real jobs for people that they can actually get a hold of and make a career on and raise a family on. And I'm not sure just the fear of how bad Ron Johnson is enough. And so in a razor thin election, I think Manchin and Sinema are a real challenge here because they're going to limit the constructive accomplishments Biden can show unless we can get through this mess we have right now where with this insistence that we create 10 Republican votes for constructive legislation, which is impossible with this neo-fascist Republican Party.
Yeah, no, and I wanted to talk about that for a second because, you know, if nothing more gets done, if we can get no legislation moved through, we don't get a big infrastructure bill that's going to create jobs and help rebuild the Rust Belt cities like Milwaukee and states like Wisconsin and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan. I fear it's a slaughter in 2022, and Republicans understand this, which is why I go back to Joe Manchin's insistence that we do this bipartisan thing that is really a fantasy, given the realities of the last 20 years. I think the cards are already dealt and the future's already set if nothing gets accomplished.
Yeah, it's as mythical as the Gone with Wind view of the antebellum South, all the happy times, right? And the happy slaves that are part of the family, enslaved people. And so this idea that the filibuster is some kind of key institution of the Senate that creates a deliberative body, that if it's anything other than a Jim Crow treated institution, out of a rule, by the way, that was supposed to end filibusters. That rule was distorted by Richard B. Russell and the Jim Crow senators. And that just this notion that it's the responsibility of Biden and Schumer and the Democrats to find 10 Republicans where it's their interest to undermine this administration no matter what, because all they really want is power, period. So the only votes on the table possibly are the two members of this bipartisan party, that would be Murkowski and Collins, and even then they're not a give me on anything, any bold legislation. So we got to figure out, I'm glad we get the American Rescue Plan and there was a lot there. I'm glad we're going to hopefully have, you know, a herd immunity for COVID-19, you know, and a vaccination rate that is great enough. The herd immunity may be a myth, but that to actually make it safer and then an attempt to vaccinate the world. But everything else we have to figure out, unless we can break this logjam, how to promise that would be the outcome of winning the 2022 election. And that means making a clear public case as to who blocked this.
No, I'm with you on that because I don't see 10 Republicans who are going to come around. But what do you say, Robert, who the people go, well, you know, Democrats use the filibuster too to stop Republicans. This isn't just Republicans stopping Democrats. And if you do away with the filibuster, well, bad things are going to happen. And you could see the end of Social Security. You could see the end of Medicare. You could see the end of collective bargaining rights. All this bad stuff could happen when Republicans become the ones in power. What do you say to those folks?
Kind of a false narrative of the filibuster. You know, between Reconstruction and 1964, the passage of the Civil Rights Act, the only bills filibustered and killed were civil rights bills. So this was created for that purpose. And it started to expand in use in the 90s and the early aughts, but it has been supercharged by Mitch McConnell. this is a relatively modern Republican strategy to have a 60 vote threshold for every piece of legislation. And with the loopholes they've created for federal judges, remember they minted Trump judges and Supreme Court justices, and of course with budget reconciliation, which allows you to give the Trump tax cut, the largest tax cut in history for corporations and the well-connected and wealthy, they don't need to use regular legislation to get what they want, because they don't want broad constructive legislation, new social legislation, action on climate or racial equity, et cetera. So we have a filibuster that's aligned, that's racially biased and structurally racist and aligned with against Democratic priorities. So you have the shocking position that Senate doesn't have the power to raise the minimum wage for working people, but does to give whatever tax cuts it wants to corporate America. And so, I mean, really, it has become simply so commonplace with this, with Mitch McConnell, that it's nothing like it's ever been, even in its worst periods. It was only applied horribly to civil rights. Now it's applied to absolutely everything to undermine a Democratic president. And you have two Democratic, quote unquote, Democratic co-conspirators. But we knew it was going to be hard with 50 vote Senate, but they're making it harder and harder. The only hope I see out there is my counterpart in West Virginia, runs West Virginia Citizen Action, who's worked with Manchin since he first got elected and ran for office, says you really shouldn't believe anything he says about what his bottom line is or what he's actually thinking. And so there's some hope that they can keep working this through and get some major constructive legislation through Manchin. I think that's the only course, but it's looking more and more dire.
Yeah, no, I've known that about Manchin as well. What he projects is one thing. What he's going to do is always something else. But he seems to be really dug in, and the more people are pushing, the more he's digging in. And that to me is concerning, because, look, we got to get something done on voting rights, or 2022, it's over, because states have already set up the way that they're going to do all of the things that Trump wanted to do in 20. That's a bad place to be in.
When you think about the narrative, Rick, I mean, right now it looks like, okay, Democrats are blocking it, but not many people follow the filibuster. Average working people are too busy keeping their heads above water and supporting their families. And so that's why I think Schumer's going to start having votes and yep. trying to make it very clear
so.
Who's voting no.
No, I hope that's the way forward. But Robert, I appreciate your time, your thoughts, your expertise. Always great talking with you. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Keep on keeping on.
Good stuff. Our good friend Robert Craig, he is the executive director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Make sure you check out their website, citizenactionwi.org. We'll get links out in social media. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.